If you've ever looked online or seen pictures in, for example, People magazine of where the rich and famous go to get away from it all, you may have seen a shot or two of Gstaad, but this hotspot in Switzerland is one of the most exclusive on the planet, and it is not paparazzi famous. That did not stop our intrepid lifestyle, luxury, and adventure writer, Margie Goldsmith, from finding out how the other half lives. Welcome, Margie.
Thank you, Terry.
Now, do I have to go into my Robin Lynch imitation now?
Well, it probably would be too high-end for Robin Lynch.
Oh, really?
So there are more gazillionaires per square inch in Gstaad than there are holes in the Swiss cheese.
So what was it like being in that rarefied air in Gstaad?
Well, what's really amazing is I expected it to be very snooty, very hoity-toity, very stuck-up, because you have Le Rosé there, which is the boarding school for all the famous children of diplomats and movie stars. But it's just the opposite. It's where people come, the very rich come, and famous, to completely get away from it all. Gstaad's motto is, come up and get down, or something of that nature. And they don't want to be bothered by anyone. Roman Polanski goes into a local place to have his coffee, and nobody gives him so much as a second glance. And even the farmers are millionaires, so their feeling is, oh, it's just another millionaire. Nobody really flaunts their money. I mean, you have the high-end shops, and of course people shop there, but they don't go out of their way to show you how rich they are, because there are zoning codes in this tiny little village where there are only 7,500 people, which means there are as many cows and goats as there are people. They're not allowed to build more than three stories. So what do the rich people do? They build down. They have indoor swimming pools and staff quarters and garages, and they're all underground, so you cannot see their wealth.
And the cows and goats are taken care of pretty well, too, it sounds like.
The cows and goats are probably massaged by hand every night. Actually, in the summer, well, at the end of the winter, the cows come down, and they have almost like a cow parade for themselves, not for tourists. And the cows are all decked out with flowers in their ears, and they wear their cowbells, which I tried to buy one, minimum price, $10,000, and they go up from there.
Wow.
So I will not be having a cowbell, in this lifetime.
We won't say more cowbell to you, will we? No. Now, you stayed in suitable luxury. I mean, it's not like you were, you know, there's no Motel 6 here.
No, I was not roughing it here. I stayed in a brand new hotel. It's the first new hotel they've built in 100 years, called the Alpina Gstaad. And it's a 5-star luxury hotel. And every room had views of the mountains, of the Swiss Alps. I mean, it was gorgeous. My favorite thing was there were two pools. There was an indoor pool and with two jacuzzis, and there was an outdoor pool with a number of jacuzzis built into the pool. And the outdoor pool was about 92 degrees. And I'd get up at 7 in the morning, and I'd go out to the outdoor pool, and it could be 25 degrees out, but it was steaming hot. And you've got the whole pool to yourself, and you're doing the backstroke, looking up at the mountains. And there was a spa where I indulged in a lot of treatments, and there was a hot tub indoors, and there was a cold plunge for after you're done skiing, and you don't want to have lactic acid buildup.
Oh, no.
There were three restaurants. It was very luxurious. It was the equivalent of any high-end hotel anywhere in the world, probably more so, because it's Gstaad.
And speaking of lactic acid buildup, I mean, the way you might do that would be skiing, which is not necessarily why people go to Gstaad, but you did hit the slopes.
I did hit the slopes because I'm not that rich, so I can't afford not to ski when I see a mountain in front of me because
exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
But I skied on a glacier, which was 9,800 feet up, so you don't get altitude sickness, but it's high enough up that you have gorgeous views. And if you're an advanced skier, I wouldn't recommend you come here if you like huge moguls, because they just don't have any here. But for intermediates and for beginners and for advanced intermediates, it's ideal. They have about 128 miles worth of runs, and there's never any line because the locals aren't skiing. They come up on the lift to have lunch with their après ski boots on. They bring their dogs. The dogs get to sit on pillows. They take the lift back down, and they go on with their lives.
Nice.
It's we, the tourists, who are skiing and cross-country skiing and sledding and all the outdoor sports for the winter.
Now, you did have a close encounter with a hot air balloon, and I loved that story.
Okay. Well, one day when I'd finished cross-country skiing, because how long can you do it without dying?
Yeah.
I said to my guide, I want to see cows. And she said, well, you can't really because they're in barns for the winter. I said, well, let's go to a barn. So she made a few phone calls, found out she knew a farmer, took me up this little country road, and we get out of the car. The farmer wasn't home. I peek in. I see two cows, and suddenly I look up in the sky, and there's a dot coming towards me, and it's getting closer, and it's a hot air balloon. And it looks as though it's going to land in the field right where we are, and I think that's not possible. And they are. They land. They come down, and we rush up to them, and we help pull the balloon. And they're so happy that we've helped them. They say, come on, we'll take you for a quick ride, which they did. And it turned out that the pilot was a guy named John Doerr, and he's the one who taught Richard Branson how to fly a hot air balloon.
Wow.
And they were in town because there was a hot air balloon festival the next day. So when we came back down, they landed right on the road. I said, you're landing your basket on the road? And they said, well, it's the easiest place to get it into the truck.
And nobody cared.
No, there was nobody around. It was a little country road.
That is amazing. We're talking with Margie Goldsmith, lifestyle, luxury, and adventure writer. And Margie, this trip to Stade just sounds like a fairy tale to me.
It was, and it won't happen again, you know, unless I can afford to get back there. But it was a dream. It was, you know, kind of a bucket listy thing. How often do you get to go hang out with the rich and famous without even knowing they're rich and famous? Because they're hiding.
Exactly. Not very often. Thanks so much, Margie, for sharing your fairy tale with us.
Thank you, Terry.